All right, are you guys ready? I need you guys to do me a favor today. I need you to listen fast, because I got a whole lot to say, man, right? So we'll see what we can get through today, and hopefully we can get through it all. Maybe, maybe not, I'm not sure. But in the last series that we had, Empowered, man, it really changed my thought process in my life in a bunch of different ways, man, and I hope it did you as well. Hope you enjoyed it. We're going to start a new one, and it kind of piggybacks on the last one. It's titled Winning the War in Your Mind. And we talked about the battle that goes on between the good and our thoughts and God's thoughts, right? Remember we talked about the little angel and the little demon, that they little devil that they did in the cartoon world, you know, where they're fighting, do this, no, don't do this. You know that. The thing is that is a very good depiction of what actually happens in our lives a lot of times. Thinking this thought, most of the battles that take place in my mind are battles between faith and fear. The battles in, do I trust God in this situation, or am I too fearful of this situation? I want to trust God, but I also want to be in control. How many of you know that thought process? Like, God, I want to give this to you, but I still want to hold on to it because I want to make sure you're doing it right. You know, we don't say that to him, but that's what we do, right? And that's a battle that we have. We battle being confident in our calling and what God's called us to do, the place that he's put us at, or being crippled by insecurities that are in our life to keep us from doing what God has asked us to do, right? There's a battle that goes on, and according to the scripture, we don't ever have to lose that battle, according to scripture. We are more than conquerors. How many of you have heard that, right? God's given us every tool that we need to be able to overcome what we have to face in our lives. So we need to understand that the battle, even though it goes on, we don't have to be fighting that battle. We don't have to be fighting that battle. And so that's what I want to talk about for the next couple of weeks and go through some things. And want you to see this. Number one in your notes, man, most of life's battles are won or lost in your mind. They're won or lost in your mind. Before you ever take the first action, the battle takes place here. And this is why the enemy tries so hard to attack you in your thoughts, right? How many of you, before you ever went to take care of a situation or talk to somebody, you planned out everything, what you were going to say, how you're going to say it, I'm going to do it like this, I'm going to do it. And you planned it all out in your mind. Then you get there and it's nothing like you planned out, right? Or you're going to a doctor's appointment and you have all the horrible negative things that's going to take place. And this is what he's going to say, and this is what he's going to say, and this is what he's going to say. I'm going to have to do this, I'm going to have to do this. And then you get there and it has nothing to do with what it is, right? And you've worried and you've been frustrated and you've lost the battle in your mind of joy in your life for that last however long it was because you allowed it to take over your life, right? We need to understand that most of the battles that come, I do have some good news though. You ready for this? God's word is powerful. And it's not there just so that we have it. It's there so that it can be accessed and used in our life all the time. All the time. It says, according to scripture, that he will transform our lives, our minds. It says he will renew our minds, to make new our minds, right? So what do we have to do? We're going to get through all of that. Romans 12:2 says this. It says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. So God will transform our minds. We don't need to worry. This is I was thinking about this morning about a different situation. So I don't want to say too much because I don't want to give away the situation because it's none of y'all's business. But one of the things that I was thinking about this morning is there's somebody that's in a situation and they're basing what they're going to do off of what the world says, which takes them away from what God says. And the thought, the thing about it is they're saying, but it's okay, because look around at everybody else. It's not right, right? But look, let's be real. How many of us, in the midst of our thing, say, well, everybody else is doing it, and they're Christians, and they love Jesus too, so it's okay. And it's not. And it's a battle. That's one of the things that he throws into our mind, into our lives, that we would pick up. It is a lie of the enemy so that we walk away from God. And although it seems right, it's wrong, right? And that's scripture too. There's a way that seems right to man, but in the end, it's destruction, right? So this is what we need to do ultimately on the battle that goes on. That's why it's so important that we read his word. That we not only read his word, that we study his word. This is one of the challenges that I gave to the people that was at Bible study on Wednesday. I said, from now on, and I gave it to a couple other people too. I said, from now on, I don't want you to just read the scripture. I want you to study it. Because how many of you, be real, you read something and it's done. I read. What did you get out of it? That I read. That's what I got. I got that I sat down for an hour and I read. That's what I got out of it, right? No. God's word is, man, it has every answer that we need. It has everything that we need to overcome, every battle that we face in it. But the problem is we may have read the scripture, but we haven't gotten it inside of our heart. Like David said, your word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. We have maybe a head knowledge, but not a heart knowledge, right? Like I told you guys, my problem was a while back. I was more knowledgeable than I was obedient. What's the definition of sin? To know right and not do it, right? And so getting into this thought, if we want to allow this war to be over in certain situations, in the situations that, look, situations are going to keep coming and coming and coming. And I'm going to get over this war and there's going to be another one come up. That's how it works, right? That's how it works. In my mind, in life, in everything that happens, right? We're steady going to have different things coming at us. And if we want to overcome them, we have to. We have to hold on to Jesus and what he's done for us. We have to, right? So I'm going to read this scripture to you, and I want you to, this is what we're going to talk about today, 2 Corinthians 10:3-4. It says this, "For though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but they have divine power to destroy strongholds." So if the enemy can get us to fight the wrong battle, we'll lose the one that we're supposed to fight. Just think that thought. If I can deflect you from taking care of this issue, this problem over here, that is a real problem, and I can get you to deal with this little petty thing over here that really doesn't matter in the end game, then he's won, correct? And this is what ends up happening. The stronghold that comes, that word there in the Greek, you know I'm not a big Greek Hebrew thing, but the word there is ochurima, which means military stronghold. So I think back to the move. Do you remember back in the old days where they had the castles and they had like the place that surrounded it, and then on the inside they had a stronghold? So that if anything happened, they would go into the keep, they called it, right? They would go into this deep place that was fortified that nothing could penetrate and nothing could get out of. So they went there for protection, but they also put their prisoners there, right? So that they didn't get out and get away. One of the things about that for the keeps, the strongholds that they had, they were a wall that was super high and they were as wide as 20 feet wide. So when you start thinking about it, if you look at like the Great Wall of China, you know how wide that wall is? That's what it was. And you say, why are you describing this? Because the scripture says that it brings down every stronghold. So that means those strongholds can be a part of our life. Those strongholds can be a part of our life for a good thing or for a bad thing. What ends up happening is the enemy tries to make a stronghold around your mind by telling you lie after lie after lie, brick after brick after brick, so that you're in a prison in your own mind. You're in a prison in your own mind. The scripture tells us that there is this. The weapons of our warfare, which means the ones that we have to fight with, right? That our warfare, that means you have it, that means I have it. It says that they're not of flesh, but they have divine power. That word, again, Greek Hebrew, is dunamis. The same thing that Jesus said would come when the Holy Spirit came upon us. You will receive power, a divine power, to be able to break down those strongholds. So those things don't have to be a part of our life. They don't have to be a part of our life. We can go through them. And this is, again, this is what he does. He tries to shape your thinking one thought at a time to create a prison of lies. Let me tell you what I mean by that. You can't trust people. You won't succeed. I'm always going to be broke. I'm never going to have what I need to have. God doesn't hear my prayers. God doesn't care. I'll never make a difference. I'll never amount to anything. Those are the thoughts that he gives to us brick by brick by brick by brick that make us come inside and to stay inside here, letting us lose the battle of our mind. We need to understand that all those things are lies, no matter where they've come from. No matter where they've come from. This is what 2 Corinthians 10:5 says. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God. What is the knowledge of God in our life? What is it? It's the Word of God. It's what we know. It's what He's given to us. What we've put inside. So everything that goes against what God's Word says about us. Do you know God's Word says some amazing stuff about you and me? Some amazing stuff that we don't even think of in the situations. In the middle of those strongholds. That we destroy, get rid of, completely do away with every lofty opinion that raises itself against the knowledge of God. And then it says this, we take every thought captive to obey Christ. So every thought that comes into our mind, we don't have to allow it to be there. We can say in Jesus' name, you need to be gone. I don't need to have that. I don't want to have that. I don't want that to be a part of my life. We need to win the war that's in our mind. How do we do that? Well, first of all, we pray, we go to God. And the second thing is we get our minds right. We start focusing on the right things. Because this is the thing that you'll understand, number two in your notes. Our lives are always moving in the direction of our strongest thoughts. Our lives are always moving in the direction of our strongest thoughts. Remember the story, I don't remember who told it, about the two dogs? Which dog's going to win? The one that I feed? If they put them to fight, which dog's going to win? The one that I feed? The one that I don't feed is going to be weak and vulnerable. The one that I feed is going to be strong and have everything that it needs, the energy it needs to do what it needs to do. So think this thought. What are you feeding your mind? What thoughts are you allowing to stay and be planted? And so this is cool. One of the things, those of you who like science and God, how many of you know God created science? So there's that. But anyway, they agree on this subject. There's a lot of subjects they don't agree. They agree on this subject. It's called cognitive behavior psychology. And it shows, this study shows that relational challenges, eating disorders, addictions, and some forms of anxiety are a direct result from toxic thinking. A direct result from that's why the scripture says that he wants to renew your mind. He wants you to change the thought process that you have and what's going on in your mind. Because Proverbs, now this is one of those scriptures that Aaron and I have talked about where translation means everything, okay? So if you read it in the King James and the New King James, it says one thing. If you read it in all the other translations, it says something different, right? So, and it doesn't make sense though. So I'm using the King James on this one so it'll make sense. If you want to look at it later, you can. But Proverbs 23:7 says, for as he thinks in his heart, so is he. So is he. As he thinks in his heart, so is he. The life we have, number three in your notes, is a reflection of the thoughts we think. The life we have is a reflection of the thoughts we think. What we think determines who we become. The things that we dwell on. Do you know what? If you think you can't do it, you probably can't. This is going to be real. That's why my daughter the other day, she's like, I can't do it. She was at Silks, and there was this thing where she had to flip up and wrap around, and she's all like hanging and holding her legs out and doing all this stuff. She did it like three or four times. She said, I can. I was like, no, ma'am, you can, but you'll never do it if you keep that attitude. Do you know what? The very next time, she did it. And then you know what she did? She climbed up a bit higher to do it again because she could do it, right? This is the one thing that you'll understand. When you finally put that thought out and you finally step forward into what it is, you know what? You'll go even deeper now because I can do it. I know I can do it. I know that lie is not going to hold me anymore. So this, I'm skipping ahead in my notes, but that's okay because I feel like I should say it now. There's a thing that you learn about elephants. So, this is a story from a long time ago, and how much truth is in it, I don't know, but I think it is, yes. So what happens is this. It does work because of circuses. So elephants, they, sorry, my brain works, it's going crazy today. So elephants, when they're babies, they tie their leg with a little tiny rope, and they can't break it. And as they grow, every night they put that little tiny rope on them. as they grow, they could snap that thing like it's nothing. But because of their mind, they can't break that rope. They can't break that rope. I tried it once. It didn't work. Well, let's just give up and go home, right? No. Keep trying. The only way that you fail is if you quit trying. You can fall on your face. As long as you get up and go back again, you didn't fail. You learned a way it didn't work. Right? That's why I told my girls when they were doing jiu-jitsu and they were doing tournaments and stuff like that, and they would come back and they were sad. I lost. No. Did you learn? How did they get you? How did you just end up getting beat? Did they choke you out, or they did arm, or they did whatever they did? How did they do that? Learn how to stop that now. You know a weak spot. I ain't gonna fall in that no more. Right? So now I'm stronger. We need to understand, if you think that you can't, you probably won't. If you think you can, you probably will. If you dwell on your problems, they're going to overwhelm you. They're going to overwhelm you. If you look for solutions, you'll find some. You know how an ant eats an elephant? One bite at a time, right? That's what they say. I don't know where that came from. I don't even know if ants really eat elephants. I don't know. But it's a true statement. How do you take care of big problems, man? Take care of a little one first. So we had some people coming in town, like I said, and my house was a wreck in the place that I'm going to have them stay. And so, you know what? When I started looking around at all the stuff we had to do, I just wanted to sit down and watch TV. You know? There's a whole lot to go on. I hope somebody starts doing it. Let me watch this next episode. Binge watching is horrible, y'all. Just so you know, it's horrible. So, do you know how we ended up accomplishing it? We sat down and we did a list. We need to do this, we need to do this, and we need to do this. And we started with the smallest one, or the one that had the most value, the things you had to do in the order, and we did the little one first, and then we did a little. Do you know what? The room's ready for them to come and stay in now. Because why? Because we did it little by little by little, and we didn't get overwhelmed at how horrible everything was. Do you know, in your life, if you start focusing on how horrible everything is, you'll get into a depression so bad you ain't going to come back. Amen. Without God stepping in, right? Without his intervention. Dwell on the problems and they'll overwhelm you. Do you know what? If you feel like a victim, you're going to become one. If you believe that you can overcome it, Christ is going to make a way in your life. He's going to make a way. If you look to him and you see the battle that goes on, man, we need to think about it. So think this thought, man. If you are putting your life on a scale between good and bad, so worried is on this side and peaceful is on this side, where is your life at right now? Do you know why I'm asking you to do this? I'm going to do two more. You know why I'm asking you to do this? Because before you can go where you want to go with a GPS, you got to know where you're at. This is where I'm starting from, and that's where I want to be. So thought process, this is don't evaluate the person next, be like, you're just really jacked up, you're really miserable, don't be putting peaceful down because you're worried about everything. No, don't do that. I want you to look at yourself and say, on a scale from 1 to 10, worried being on this side and peaceful being on this side, where do I reside in my life? Where am I at right now in my mind, mentally? Am I worried about everything, or am I peaceful about things? Has God given me the peace that passes all understanding? You know, that's for tough times in our lives. We can have that. Where are you at? Next one, negative, positive. On a scale of my thoughts are always negative or my thoughts are always positive, where are you at on that scale? Do you know we're supposed to have positive thoughts? Yes. We're supposed to think positively. I'm going to get to that in a minute. The next thing that I want you to do, and I said something about this earlier, are we worried about the worldly things or are we worried about eternal things? Is our mind, our thought life geared towards what the world has, what the world says we need, or what God says we need and where he wants us to be focused at? Because you know what? If I worry people think this thought, what are people going to think about me? If you're looking at the worldly, worried people, what do people think about me? Well, what about my kids? What about my future? Huh? My finances are crazy. I got to worry about them. I got to take care of that. My job, my health. Do you know all those are valid concerns? They're not areas to be worried. They're valid concerns. They're not areas to be worried. Right? People that are secure is and peaceful is, what can I do with what you've given me? What can I do with this situation? What do you want to do in this middle of this situation? right? Again, I'm astounded, and I never saw this before until we started doing the Bible studies again. And I've said it a couple of times, y'all probably, you've said this already, but I want you to understand. Paul, Peter, and John, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Daniel, which one of them said, God, get me out of this situation now? None of them. None of them. They all said, God, make me effective right where I'm at. Help me be a bold witness. That's what Paul said. Hey, God, in this, help me be a bold witness. Paul, Silas, they're in prison, right? They're in prison in Philippi. They're singing praises at midnight. Probably all the rest of them are like, don't you see where you're at? You're so dumb. That's the world thought process. But you know what happened? The praise, being in God's presence, changed everything. So you want peace, you need to get in God's presence. You want to stop being worried about stuff, you need to give it to God. It's easy for you to say you're not in a situation. You know what? I know that for a fact. I know when a situation comes, oh man, I'm just like, oh. Do you know what? My wife says, hey, you need to stop. God said something different. I mean, if I didn't have her, y'all, I'd be in trouble. I'd be in trouble. Just being real. He gave me a good thing. That's what the scripture says. He who finds a wife finds a good thing. Anyway. Negative, do you know what negative people do? They are critical about everybody and about what they're doing. They find fault in everything. They're discontent about everything in their life. Their life is super hard, harder than everyone else's. And they're so busy that they can't make a difference, right? Positive people believe the best in people, and they ultimately live a good life. When you start looking around at the positive people, people that you know that are super positive in every situation, they're happy about where they're at. And you're like, how on earth could you be happy about that? I'm like, well, I don't know. I just am. God's good to me. How many of you know, whether you're on a mountaintop or in a valley, God is good to you. He's good to you. And going back, look at Joseph. I use him a lot as an example. Joseph, he got sold into slavery. He got put into jail. Accused of stuff he didn't do. He got all these different things. Never once did he sit there and say, God, you're horrible to me because you didn't. He's like, man, what can I do here? How can I work as unto God in the middle of this situation? And what ended up happening? That attitude, that thought process brought him out of every situation he was in and put him in some amazing places, right? Think that thought. So you start thinking about a mind that is consumed by this life, the third one that we talked about, they're more worried about material possessions and how many likes they can get, how well people like them, right? Eternal differences are giving gifts. How can I reach people? God, what did you call me to do? How can I do what you call me to do? How can I reach people for you? So thinking that thought process of where's my life at in the middle of these things? Am I always worried or do I have peace? Am I always negative in my thought process, or am I positive in my thought process and about how we're doing things? Do I worry about the worldly things, or do I worry about eternal things? You know, those are some of the battles that go on in our mind. And this is another kind of phrase or title or whatever you want to call it. But what comes into your mind is what's going to come out of your life. What you allow to dwell there is what's going to come out. What scripture says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. How does it get to the heart? From your mind? How you think about things? Oh. No matter what you do or what you have or who you know or what you buy or where you live or where you travel, your mind is going to control where your life is at. The thoughts that you allow to be there, to stay there. Your life will always move in the direction of your strongest thoughts. Are you excited about the direction your life has taken you? Think that. If your life is always moving in the direction of your strongest thoughts, are you excited about the direction your thoughts are taking you? You know, I have not been in some areas of my life. Because of the last things we've been talking about and things we've been doing, I've had to make some changes. right? One of the biggest things that and I didn't even look. I preach things sometimes, y'all, and I mean I know I say them, but until you guys repeat it back to me, I don't realize I said them. Does that make sense? And one of the things that I said as we were talking, that's why I ask you guys. It's not because I do care about how you guys like the service and if it changed your life. I mean, I wouldn't do it if I didn't want change to come. But the reason why I ask you those things is because if God spoke it to you, he might have said something different to you, even though I'm the one that said it. Does that make sense? One of the things that I said a while back is if you don't like the crop you're getting, change your seed. Right? If you don't like the crop, because fruit, right, comes out of our life because of what we've planted. If I don't like the fruit, I need to change my seed. It works at this principle too. If I don't like what I'm doing, where I'm at in life, I need to change what I'm doing. If my thought process is taking me in a way that I don't need to be or into a place I don't need to go, then I need to change my thought process, my thought life. What I need to do is I need to change the way that I think. I need to allow the Holy Spirit to renew my mind. How do I do that? How do I do that? How do I start, right? Because you know what? Again, starting a job and looking at what's going on is a big task, especially if you see the mess that's in my head, right? Y'all can't see it. It's just back there. And that's how most people live their life, right? I keep my thought process, my life. I keep myself inside here because other people wouldn't understand. They wouldn't love me. They wouldn't care about me. Do you know what that is? That's all bricks in that stronghold that the enemy is throwing at you. You need to get rid of them. But what do I need to do? The first thing I need to do, A, in your notes, is identify the biggest stronghold that's holding you back. Identify the biggest stronghold that's holding you back. Do you know any of the programs that help people, whether it's NA or AA or any of the meetings that are like that, Celebrate Recovery, do you know what the first step in all of it is, or the first thing that you have to do is admit that you got a problem? This GPS, y'all, always think GPS. This is where I'm at right now. I want to go to there. I can't figure out how to get to there unless I know where I'm at, right? Try it. Like, turn your location off on your phone. Go into the Waze or whatever. I use Waze. Whatever you guys use, type in a place and put go. And it'd be like, we don't know where you're at. We're searching. We don't know where you're at. I can't take you to where you're going until you tell me where you're at, right? Think that process in your life. Until I say, this is where I am, I can't know where I'm going. Amen? So we need to identify the biggest thing that's holding us back. What is the biggest lie that the enemy has told you over and over and over that you believe now that's keeping you from being what God called you to be? I'm not good enough. My past is too hard. It's too bad. I can't trust people. I can't let people in my life. I'm always going to battle with my weight. Man, I've never been good with money. I probably never will be. You know what? Probably never will be. Right? I can't get close to God. He doesn't hear me. He doesn't listen. I mean, that's a lie. He listens all the time. He's always there. I'll never have a job that I love. I'll always be in one like this. All my relationships are going to break down. I'm never going to find somebody for me, right? All those thought processes. So I'm going to help y'all with something. I had a couple of relationships before I met my wife. And in one of them, they wanted to have a relationship. And I was like, do you know what? I said, I'm not going to do that to you because my future, I'm going to be a 40-year-old drunk on a bar stool somewhere. That's going to be my life. I don't want to take you there. Do you know what? For a long time, I was going that direction until God changed my thought process about who I am, about who he called me to be, about what future he has for me, right? So, and it wasn't until I allowed those thoughts to be changed, because you know what? If you want to hold on to those thoughts, he's going to let you. He's not going to force you to get rid of them. He's not going to take them away from you, like just rip them out. It doesn't happen that way. It's called surrender. That's what we do. We surrender to him, and he changes things when we give them to him. We can have all those thought processes, all those negative thoughts, and this is another place that science comes into play. So, according to science, every thought that you think creates a chemical reaction inside your brain. Every thought that you think, the more you think it creates a pathway. And the more that you think that thought, the stronger the pathway gets. Think this thought, okay? This don't have to do with the brain. This is just how my brain works, okay? I had dogs in Louisiana. I had some big dogs in Louisiana. And they stayed in my backyard. They always went the same place when they went outside, right? They would go from here and they would cut diagonally to the corner of my backyard. And then they would run down the fence and then they would come back around. Do you know what ended up happening? I had a path of dirt diagonally across my yard, down the fence, and back over to where I was standing at. Why? Because that's where they went always, 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 and it made a path. Your thoughts do the exact same thing according to science. They make pathways, right? And it also does this. It also releases a chemical in your mind. Good things release what they call dopamine. That's where they get the word dope from, y'all. Anyway, it releases dopamine. It's a good, it's a happy feeling. Then also the negative response also creates a different path, a different reaction that happens. And so the more we think positive thoughts, the more good things happen, the more we think positively, the more dopamine gets released in our system. That's why you feel so good at certain times, and then when you feel bad, right? Your brain does that. And the more we think these thoughts, the stronger that pathway gets. It's time for us to break some pathways that have been put inside of our minds. It's time for us to start thinking and changing the way we think about ourselves, about who God called us to be, about the place that we're at in our life, and allow it to change. Everything, every thought creates a neurochemical change in our body. We need to change the way we think. We need to start thinking and allowing those pathways, those neurological, there's billions of paths in our mind and ways to go. And again, the more often, this is the thing, the more often we think them, the stronger they get. And do you know what they do? They become our default setting. When anything happens, that's where I go. That thought is there. So are we thinking good thoughts or are we dwelling on the bad ones? Are we allowing those things to come? And this is the thing. So we have a frustrating day at work. What ends up happening? First time, we get frustrated. We come home. We're kind of frustrated, aggravated, right? We allow chaos to come. Before too long, we're having a bad day at work all the time. Why? Because my mind is in a negative place and I'm only seeing the negative things and that's where my life is going to. And so what ends up happening? That ends up being my response. That ends up being my life. We need to allow God to renew our minds, y'all, and to change those things. To think differently, we have to forge new pathways in our brain, according to science. Do you know the scripture says the same thing? Scripture says the same thing. We're going to get to that. The more you walk the path, the easier it becomes. So we need to identify the stronghold that's holding us back. Next thing that we need to do. We need to name the truth that demolishes that stronghold. We need to name the truth that demolishes that stronghold. 2 Corinthians 10:5. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself against the knowledge of God. We take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. To take captive. In the Greek, it means to take captive, right? Means the war term, it's a war term that they use, and it means to capture with a spear or to capture with a sword. To capture with a spear or capture with a sword. And this is the thing that you think about. In what God gave to us, if we look at the armor that he gave to us, most of the armor that we have is all defensive, except for one. And that is the sword of truth. The word of God, right? So everything else that he's given us, the helmet of salvation to protect our mind, the breastplate of righteousness to protect our heart, right? Guard our heart. It goes on down with the belt of truth and the shoes of peace. I said it wrong, but you guys know what I'm talking about, right? Toby translation again, y'all. Sorry. But he gives us all these things to help us defend, but he gives us one thing to fight. To be offensive with, to take captive those things, those thoughts, those evil imaginations. And what is it? The Word of God. Again, that's why it's so important that we put His Word in our lives. Think you don't have enough? Think you, man, whatever it is, I'm not enough to do it. There's truth in that. I mean, just y'all, that's the bad news. Y'all ready for the bad news? There's truth in that. You can't overcome those things on your own. But the Word says that Jesus did, and that in Christ I can overcome anything. 2 Peter 1:3 says, His divine power, look, His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life. How crazy is that? Like, well, I can't do it. Yes, you can. He's already given you everything that you need. Anybody that He called in the Scripture to do something, He already gave them everything they needed, even if they didn't see it. And when the time come, when the time came and they looked at, that's one of the things I love about Moses, y'all. They think, he says, I'm slow of speech. So they think he had a speech impediment or something like that. And that's why he didn't want to go to Pharaoh. Like, I'm slow of speech. That's what he said. And then, so God said, okay, so I'll give you Aaron. And Aaron will speak in your place. But do you know what ended up happening when Moses got there? Aaron didn't get to say nothing because Moses didn't shut up. His speech wasn't slow at that moment. So even if we look at the issues that we have, and they're valid issues, like I'm not good at talking to people. Like I can't do that, or I'm not good at craft stuff, or I can't do this, I can't do that. Do you know God gives us what we have need of when we need it? And our weaknesses is I love that song we sang. It's the canvas to show His strength. Every weakness, every problem, everything that we have in our mind that says, I can't do it, or I'm not good enough, or I'm all this stuff, is the opportunity for God's glory to come through in our life. He's given us everything that we need. So, y'all ready for something? He's given us all the time we need to do what He's given us to do. He's given us all the patience to deal with the people that are hard to deal with. He's given us the energy to be able to complete the tasks, every task that He's given us to do. He's given us the wisdom. Do you know what? Sometimes the form of wisdom comes not in ourselves, but in the counsel that is around us. We have all the wisdom that we need to do everything that He's called us to do. We have all the resources that we need to walk in what God has called us to walk in. Why? Because He's going to provide it for us. Everything that I'm lacking in, He's going to give to me. What we need to do is this. We need to get in His Word, because this is what happens. John, I'm going to look at it. I don't have it in my notes. I have it there, but I don't have it in my notes. John 8:32. Where is it at? Hopefully I can read this Bible. It says this. I'm going to start at 31. Jesus said to the Jews who had believed Him, if you abide in My Word, and you are truly My disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So the stronghold, the battle that's in our mind, the things that's holding us, when we know the truth, God's Word, what He says about us, what He created us to be, when we know that, it sets us free from that negative thought process. It sets us free from the stronghold, the bondage that's holding us together. Because this is what His Word says. You can't get things done. He says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now, Paul's talking about how I'm not talking about playing a better Bay football game, or like we use that principle. Okay, it can go there. That's not what he's talking about there. He's talking about in the situation that I am in, whether it's good or whether it's bad, I can do everything because Christ is strengthening me. That's what he's talking about. He said, I've learned to be content with what I have a lot. I've learned to be content with a little. Everything that I have, God has given me, and I'm going to be able to make it through because Jesus Christ is going to help me through it. That's what that scripture says. We can use the principle other places. It works other places too. But that's what he's talking about. You think you can't do it, you're not good enough, then you need to get into your Word, and you need to see that he said that. And then second of all, you need to walk in him by his Spirit. I can do all things through Christ. That means I'm going through him. It's not me on my own. It's him. If you don't think you're attractive, you don't like the way you look, remember the scripture says that I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I'm perfect just the way I am, y'all. Just so you know. Perfect. Just the way I am. If you're miserable, get to know this. The joy of the Lord is your strength. You feeling alone? Oh, how can I laugh and cry at the same time? God is with me. He will never leave me. If you feel like a victim this morning, the scripture says you are an overcomer. You're not who the enemy says that you are. What direction is your life moving? What's coming into your mind and what comes out of your life? I'm going to tell you this. You cannot have a positive life with a negative mind. It doesn't work. What do we need to do? We need to capture the lies. We need to bring them to Christ. Say, this is what's being told to me. And allow his word, allow him to tell us who we really are. We need to listen. Aaron, y'all come on back up. One of the things, we blame the enemy for a lot of stuff, but there's a lot of stuff he tries to do. One of the things that he wants to do is keep us contained in our mind, keep us bound up with these thoughts, with what people have said about us, with negative things. And this is the this is the thing we need to understand. Why would we stay locked in a prison when Jesus has already given us the key? Why stay locked in the prison when Jesus has already given us the key? He already paid for it. He already paid for our freedom. Through him, we have everything that we need. So this morning, I want you to bow your heads, close your eyes. Why am I doing that? Because I don't want you looking around. I want people to be able to do what they want to do, which is bow your heads and close your eyes. You've allowed negative thoughts to take over your life. You've allowed worry and doubt and fear to control not only your life, but everybody's life that you're supposed to pour into. The family, your friends. You're done. You're tired of living that life. You want to know what God has to say about you. You want to walk in the freedom that he's given you. You don't want to be held captive in your mind. You want to win the war that is going on in your mind. The only way to do that is through what Christ has done for you. So this morning, you want things to change. Nobody's looking. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Everybody in the building, except me. That's you. You just put your hand up. I'm done. I'm over it. I need to get rid of these things. Just put it up. Put it back down. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Do you know what? Giving it to him and allowing him to take it is what's going to happen right now. We're going to ask him. The word says, if you ask, you receive. Right? We're going to give it to him. Dear Heavenly Father, as you saw the hands that were raised, whether they were here or whether they're at home watching, Father God, or Facebook, we ask that you would allow our hearts, our minds to be renewed. Allow the negative thoughts and the negative way of thinking, the negative way of life, the worry, the fear that grips us. Your word says that we're not supposed to live in that. That we're not supposed to be there. We ask right now that you would help us come from that place. Holy Spirit, that you would come and renew our minds and our hearts and allow us to see who you created us to be. I ask that you would allow us this week to have the self-control, the discipline to go into our word and to find scriptures that bring down the stronghold that's in our life, that come against all these thoughts that we have. Let us find the scriptures that say on fear, that I'm fearful, that you didn't give us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. So that if we're having that fear, it's not from you. We can find peace and freedom in your presence. Help us with that. Not just with that, but every aspect of our life. You've given us the tools that we need, according to 2 Peter. And we want to walk in it, Father God. Help us with that now. Give us freedom. And God, if there's anybody here this morning that doesn't know you, that needs to have a relationship with you, allow them to understand. It's a free gift. Raising their hand or saying a prayer, that's just what we do. Say we believe in our heart and confess with our mouth. That's why we do that. But we can sit right where we're at. We can sit at home at our kitchen table and say, Jesus, I give you everything. Thank you for dying for me, for giving me access to the Father. I want to be one of your children. That's all it takes. Not special words. It's not special things. It's a gift that you've given us. We accept that gift now in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 All right. So this is what I need y'all to do. I need y'all to think some happy thoughts. I need y'all to think some good thoughts. We're going to talk more about this next week. So be sure and come back. Or watch online if you're not around. If you can't be there. You can also do this. There's a couple of ways. And I forget to say this all the time. There's a couple of things you can do. On our website, lakevictory.com, you can see all of our sermons that we've got in there. And from the time that we started filming them, I think we've only missed one. I think there was one that the computer glitched on and we didn't get, right? One or two, maybe. I don't know.
Facebook has all of them.
Facebook has all of them. So
every one of them.
You heard what he just said? There he goes. He's the one that does that. Also, you say, well, I drive a lot. I can't do stuff. You can go on to, I know Spotify. I have the Lake Victory podcast. We put all of them on a podcast. So you can go to the podcast on Spotify. I think there's a couple of different ones. I don't know all of them, but you can do that and listen there as well.
Google Play and Android as well.
Just tell them where all they can do it at.
It's pretty much anywhere that you can consume a podcast, you can get it. So on your iPhone, if you search for Victory Church, apparently it's a popular name. Look for the big purple logo with the little
with V,
right? So that's how you'll know that it's ours. So
on the Facebook thing that I do, I put Victory Church and I start to put Donna Vista.
Yeah.
When I put the D, it pops up with the purple logo and stuff. Yeah. So you can listen there. You can look. There's a lot of people that won't go to church, but maybe they'll listen to a podcast. Maybe God says something and you know a friend that needs something, man, send it to them. Whether it's with us or other people's stuff too, right? I mean, you know, we're supposed to encourage people when they're in their time of need. We need to do that. There's a bunch of different ways. You can give online at lakevictory.com. You can find out what all's happening. There's a lot of stuff that you can do to be involved. Again, the ladies just had their last one of the Bible series. It's not supposed to be this way this last Saturday. I heard they had an amazing time. Y'all tell my wife happy birthday when you see her. It's not till next Sunday, but that's okay. Tell her anyway. She loves all the attention.
Apparently, he likes getting in trouble.
Sorry.
or getting y'all in trouble, one.
I don't know. That was a lie in church. I'm sorry, y'all. I'm sorry. I had to repent on that one. She does not like the attention. So if you want to honor her, you might not want to say nothing. But if you want to have some fun, go tell her happy birthday next week. Anyway. Don't forget to sign up in the lobby about stuff to do. We're going to hang out and have some fun. And next Sunday is all about just kind of chilling and enjoying. And look, if it rains, that's okay. We'll just move everybody and squeeze us all into the fellowship hall. Or we'll give you a to-go box. How's that? We got some people that's going to be outside cooking. We got some different stuff happening. It's going to be hamburgers and the good hot dogs. How many of you like the good hot dogs we have? Best hot dogs ever. I'm glad that. The one we were getting from Close, I was worried, but they got another one, so it's okay. We'll get to it. So we're going to have the good hot dogs and just have some fun. And bring a change of clothes if you want to. You know, if you don't want to get your church clothes all dirty, you can do that. We're going to have, like I said, games and fun and just hang out. So with that, let's stand up and sing before we get out of here.